This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester. Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning and happy Easter. We're hopeful that you are filled with renewed hope and the grace of the resurrection on this Monday in the octave of Easter at 5 minutes after the hour. Coming up today, we'll continue to follow the aftermath of that deadly Easter terror attack, at least 290 killed in a series of Catholic Church and hotel explosions in Sri Lanka. More on that coming up through the day here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And yesterday, it's interesting, the intention at the noon mass, I went to noon mass yesterday, and the intention was for the strength of marriages and families. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about how a very happy marriage and the strength of the sacrament of matrimony can actually save the world. Lisa Miladnik will tell us how coming up. And if you're discerning the next move in your life, whatever that might be, and invoking the Holy Spirit, and maybe you're having a couple of bumps in the road in that discernment process, we've also got help for you in this hour of Morning Air. And then later on this morning, forgiving and forgetting. Sometimes we can kind of forgive and not forget, or try to forget because we can't forgive. Sister Brittany Harrison will be with us later on this morning here on Morning Air, talking about how forgiveness makes you free. That's coming up on this Easter Monday here on Morning Air. But as we start this brand new day, we offer it to the Lord. We invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer you our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation for sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're hopeful and prayerful that your marriage is one that is filled with the grace of God every single day, and that the Holy Spirit is at work in your marriage, always making it strong, always growing, no matter how long you have been married. Happy marriages can actually save the world. And you may be looking at the radio saying, well, wait a minute, we'll think about the attack on marriage in our culture. Let's look at that sacrament of matrimony and how your happy marriage can actually be a greater part of making the world a better place. Lisa Miladnik online from AmazingCatechists.com and the author of the book Heads Bowed, Prayers for Catholic School Days, is joining us. Lisa, good morning. Happy Easter.
Good morning. Happy Easter to you too, John. How are you doing today?
We're blessed to have you on. As I was mentioning in the introduction, we have seen the battle in our times, in our culture, just kind of pushing against the definition of marriage and what family life has been. It seems to come from all angles. And at times, you kind of feel alone in this battle, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's a really strange time for people of our generation. I'll just sort of include you and me, because so much has changed. Our young people are being very powerfully indoctrinated that marriage is meaningless, that that their identities are completely open to questioning at any moment, their sexuality, whether they're male or female. It's all kind of up for grabs. It's this unbelievable, in my opinion, and what I'm seeing is a diabolical unraveling of our basic human dignity, who we are, who God made us to be. And just as the theology of the body has been an incredible kind of explosion of wisdom in the last, 15 years or whatever it's been, many years actually, as it's been unfolding and being propagated and disseminated throughout the world, throughout the Christian world, not just the Catholic world, that powerful foundation that we can stand on about the biblical meaning of our bodies and the core of that, which is about self-donation. Meanwhile, there's this huge attack on marriage going on through this idea that everything is about our own self-satisfaction, and that lifelong commitment is just a thing of the past. Sister Lucia dos Santos, the oldest of the three Fatima seers, wrote to a cardinal by the name of Carlo Caffara of Bologna. She said, "The final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and family. Don't be afraid, she added, because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be contended and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. And then she concluded, however, Our Lady has already crushed its head. Such a powerful statement.
It is a very powerful statement. Yeah, it is. And we've seen that played out and something that we've been talking about here on Relevant Radio for a number of years. We all obviously choose happy marriages. So how do we, in choosing a happy marriage, how should we focus on the fact that we're talking about the sacrament, underline that word, sacrament of matrimony and the power of our vocations, Lisa?
Oh, yeah. Our vocations have enormous power. And here's another idea that's somewhat been lost. Now, I'm sort of a graduate member of the Catholic homeschooling community because my daughter's now in college. But I still work for Homeschool Connections, and we're starting a podcast this summer to launch in August that will be for strengthening and building up Catholic homeschooling families. And so we have to remember that our vocations, more religious vocations and more happy marriages are coming out of the homeschooling movement than anywhere else right now. We really are having an explosion in that regard. We're a relatively small community, even though it's growing by leaps and bounds. But what's really important to note is that when a husband and a wife, in the holy vocation of marriage, draw on the sacramental graces of that marriage and sacrifice income and status and social acceptance and everything else to dedicate themselves to raising their children in the faith, with a knowledge and an understanding and a lived faith, vocations explode. You get religious life and priesthood and all of that happening, but you also get the happy marriages and the dedicated singles. And so what does that example tell us? That tells us that it's important to take it seriously, that sacrifices have to be made. I don't like to say things that are too histrionic because so many different kinds of people with different levels of understanding of this are listening, and I want to be inclusive and gentle. But this is war. I'm just going to say it. We are in a war. It's really an intense situation, and so our vocations are paths of sanctification, and that means that God speaks to us in our vocations very powerfully, and that the sacrifices and the sufferings and the joys of living into those vocations fully with deep commitment to the person of Jesus Christ, whatever your vocation, that's where the power is. That's where the wisdom and the transformation can connect, right into the church and its sacramental life and just make your life superpowered.
Lisa, maybe expound a little on the domino effect we talk about with marriage being the building block of society and the attacks on marriage. And an unhappy marriage is going to rub off on the kids. And if it ends in divorce, there won't be that example of the happy home for the kids. It'll make them also maybe look for other models for how to behave if mom and dad aren't behaving well toward one another or outward either if things aren't going well at home.
That's a great point, Glenn, because God's provision is so faithful. Both my parents came from broken homes. Both of their mothers were abandoned. And so what we saw there was two young people in one case, my father's mother was a dedicated rosary praying, daily mass kind of gal. But my mother's mother was, a really good person, but very lost in a lot of ways. And so she ended up a foster child, bouncing in and out of foster care. But what happened? Both of them had a call from God on their hearts and became dedicated to practicing their faith and being among people who were building lives that were holy and good and life-giving. And so, yes, God provided those examples. God does. God is faithful. The examples are there. But the examples, the ready examples of happy marriages, even in our Catholic churches, are not happening as well. How often do we see in Catholic churches the husband and wife sitting close together? How often do we even see them in church together? How often do we see them serving together? reaching out to other families, especially when there are divorces, where you see a single mom or a single dad struggling alone. Are we wrapping our arms around those people and showing them and their children that we're all one family, and that marriage has, and that that vocation, even if the wife or the husband has been abandoned or something has happened to break that marriage up, that they are loved by the church, that their vocation is still powerful? I mean, we are in battle conditions. We have to make sure that we are living out of a supernatural awareness of who we are, our dignity, and that our vocations speak powerfully about how God has designed our individual souls to live and to grow.
Lisa Mladenik with us this morning at 15 after on Morning Air. We're talking about keeping your marriage strong, as I know that you do, to just reinforce that sacrament. And of course, it is you, your husband, your wife, and God, the three of you making the sacrament of matrimony happen, and to keep your not only marriage strong, but your family strong and your community strong as well. If someone is listening right now, Lisa, and the marriage is not going very well, how would you advise them to help to carry that cross, to unite the sufferings of Jesus to the sufferings and the crosses that they may be carrying right now?
Well, that's a great question, because in my experience and in my observation, many, 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 many good people are in unhappy marriages. And first of all, you hear from time to time about this place in Yugoslavia, in Croatia, called Soroki Breheg. It's a little town of maybe 20,000 or so people, and they've never had a divorce. And so the discussion is, what is it? What is it that helps these ordinary people who have their faults and their sins just like we do, who have internet and access to all of the kind of degrading, influences in society that we're all pummeled with night and day? They have that, and yet there are no divorces. Why? Are they all just miserable? No. These people have discovered the secret to happy marriages. And what they do is, when each couple gets married, they are presented with a large family crucifix. And at the moment where they are joined together and their hands are crossed over, being blessed, their rings are being blessed, they're also holding and kind of embracing together this cross. That cross then goes right into the home that they'll share. And anytime they have any kind of a conflict, a worry, anything, they kneel together. This is just what everyone does in this town. They kneel together before the crucifix, and they contemplate the suffering of Christ, the beauty, the power, the rightness of that self-gift. And so the children grow up seeing both parents on their knees in front of the cross, that the love of Jesus in his suffering, the willingness to take up their own crosses for each other, to live for each other, is demonstrated and lived out every day. So those children grow up, watching that and doing it with their parents. And so I just remember once when, long ago, I've been married 34 years, and I'm married to an awfully good man. We don't share a religious faith, so that's been difficult for us at times. But we've settled into a nice, happy middle age, thanks be to God. But there was a time long ago when I was a really needy, immature, unhappy bride. And I remember praying, and it was after my conversion, I remember praying in tears, will I never really know what it is to be loved? And this is like the cry of every human heart, right? Who's going to know me, love me, appreciate me, anticipate my every need, right? That's the sort of green married person is that the other person's basically supposed to be a mind reader. Anyway, so I'm there crying out in my self-pity to God, will I ever know in my life what it is to be truly loved? And I felt God speak into my heart.
That prayer was answered.
Came to me.
Yeah.
It was
immediately
God.
That's
said,
beautiful. That's beautiful. Lisa Mladenik, I'm sorry, Lisa, we're just out of time here this morning, but you offer a great deal of hope to our listeners. And of course, on day number 4 of the Divine Mercy Novena, again, reaching out and praying, Jesus, I trust in you, because no one else can save our souls. No one else can answer those prayers. And to ask Jesus for help in your marriage, not only to keep it healthy, but if you're having some difficulty, to restore it to health. Lisa Mladenik online at AmazingCatechists.com.